In this episode, I'm going to talk about how to reuse much of your existing content that you've already created into sales and marketing collateral to help drive your sales activities, to put that toolkit together for your sales team. And we're going to talk a lot about technology to help you do it. So stay tuned for this one.
Small business, big technology. Be a boss, be a boss, be a boss, be a boss, be a tech smart boss.
Hey, everybody, this is David Ferguson with the Tech Smart Boss Podcast. Welcome to episode 135. Happy to have you here. If this is your first time tuning in, this is where we talk about the overlap of great business process with do-it-yourself technology to help you grow your business. And big shout out to all of our repeat listeners and subscribers. Really happy to have you tune back in. And please continue to send the feedback in, david@techsmartboss.com. I love to hear from you when you listen to the show, what you like about the show, what you don't, topics you want to know, or anything that you have. And I get questions all the time. People ask me very specific questions, and I do spend the time to answer them. For the new people, and for I haven't mentioned this in a while, this is a hobby. We don't sell anything here. We don't market any digital courses or things like that. That might come in the future. We don't do any affiliate marketing or anything like that. This is just out of passion, and I love helping other entrepreneurs. And in my day job and my night job and my weekend job, I'm the founder of a company called 5000 Fish. Our primary product is Yerby, which is a dashboard and reporting solution. So we're a little tiny company out there like David and Goliath battling against the big giants like Tableau and Power BI from Microsoft and ClickView and all those guys. If you're familiar with that industry, you'll know that Salesforce just bought Tableau for $15 billion. And then Google, even before that, bought one of our competitors named Looker.com for $2.6 billion. And even before that, one of our competitors, Sisense, gobbled up another one of our competitors named Periscope. Periscope was running about $4 million annual revenue. And guess what? They got gobbled up for $100 million. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm the next best thing on the block. But unfortunately, we're bootstrapped. And that's what we talk about here is bootstrap techniques. And all those companies I just mentioned have millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of venture capital funding. So they're a lot more well-known than us. But guess what we do? We leverage all the guerrilla marketing and sales techniques that we talk about on this podcast. And I'm not going to say we're not going to take funding in the future. I've actually talked to some folks recently about that and got the same distaste in my mouth that I had the last time I actually tried to talk to people about that topic. But for now, we are hitting the ground bootstrapping. And those are the kind of techniques that we talk about on this podcast. Now, today, I'm actually going to, you know, talk about guerrilla marketing and sales. I'm in the process of building a sales team to expand where we are. And part of that, now, just so you know, this is not my first company. I started my first company back in 1999. So I like to say I'm an OG. I'm an OE, original entrepreneur. I'm I'm a last century entrepreneur. So I've been in this game for a long time, and I've, you know, my first company, I grew up to about 80 people, about $8, $10 million a year run rate, and then I spawned off my new software company back 10 years ago. So I shouldn't say new. We've been doing this for about 10 years. But over that time frame, one of the things that I've hired a lot of are salespeople. And I say I've hired a lot of them because I haven't had a lot succeed. And it's easy to say that if you hire a salesperson, it doesn't work out. You say, yeah, I hired a bad salesperson. But when you hire a salesperson over and over and over, and you repeat that the same time, if it's a repeatable process that they're not performing well, then you've got to look at yourself and your organization and what they're selling and think that there's something wrong with you. So I've kind of had fatigue when it comes to trying to bring in salespeople for a long time. And as a consequence, I've just been doing the sales myself, which is not an ideal situation. I take a very technical sales approach. I can give the quick answers. I have every answer about the product, and customers really appreciate that. But those aggressive, high-pressured, slick type of sales guys come in and steal my deals all the time. And quite often I hear customers come back to me a little bit later saying, yeah, we were persuaded to go with, you know, your bigger competition and they lied to us. Everything they told us wasn't true. The support was horrible. The product was buggy. The features they said was there wasn't there. So we want to come back and talk to you now. So what that tells me is that I'm not really building relationships and doing a good job selling, or, you know, maybe it is what it is. But this episode is about things I've learned and how you need to equip your sales team with the right tools, with the right marketing collateral, and those sorts of things. Same thing for partners, but I'm going to talk about it from a sales perspective in this episode. I'm going to go through I'm just going to rattle off all the things that I have now started to put together so that as I bring on my new salesperson and they start to bring on a sales team and start to see success, they're going to have the tools and the things that they need to be successful. Not necessarily tech stack tools. We've covered that in other episodes. Go look at the other episodes where we talk about the sales tech stack. We're going to talk about the marketing collateral. We're going to talk about the sales collateral that they need to open up the door, have the initial conversation, build the credibility, close the deal. So where we talk about in the past a website sales funnel, where somebody who is at the top of the funnel is coming in, learning about the concept you're selling, the middle of the funnel, they know what they want, and they're learning about the in-depth aspects of what you're selling in your products. And in the bottom of the funnel, they want to pick you, so they're looking for specific details and data about you. Well, your sales team also needs a set of marketing collateral that kind of aligns to that sales funnel. And that's one of the components that I've never really put together and built that sales toolkit and enabled my sales team. But on the other side, I could make all sorts of excuses that the product wasn't right at the time and, you know, we didn't have this in place at the time. And I mean, there's so many excuses you can make for why a salesperson doesn't succeed. But in this episode, we're going to talk about these marketing collateral pieces. So now, show notes for this. I'm going to talk about technology a little bit as we go through these pieces, how you can put some of them together using technology. If you go to techsmartboss.com/135, you can find all those hyperlinks and all the technology that we're going to talk about. All right, so let's jump right into it. Now, a lot of these things you already have in different aspects if you've been taking the steps we talk about in the podcast. So for me, my website provides me a ton of information and content and data that I can repackage into many of the things we're going to talk about today. And you probably are in a similar situation. It's not a copy or paste type of thing. I just hired a freelancer, part-time content management person. This particular one is not to write necessarily new content. I've talked about contentfly.co, which I'm using for some new content. And I've talked about my process on how I get the things out of my head onto new content in other episodes. This particular person has a specific role or task to take a lot of my existing content and repurpose it into some of these marketing collateral things that my sales team, as well as my partners and my partner sales teams, are going to need. First thing is blog posts. You know, you're creating all these great long articles. We always talk about you want 600 words or more, and I like to get around 900 to 1200 words in the articles and really go into depth. And the articles tend to be geared around top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel. Top of the funnel is those, you know, big five we talk about, the best of, reviews, comparisons, the price, and the pros and cons and things like that. Search terms, things that people search. And the middle of it talks more about your product, and bottom talks really in depth about your pricing. You might have some pricing guides, some security white papers and things like that. All those can be converted into hyperlinks. I mean, a listing of links that salespeople can use to open up and introduce the conversation. Or as they get questions, they can send them that link. I say when you're reaching out to a customer, always add value. Don't just ask for something, give something. So having these blog articles are great marketing collateral and sales tools that they can use as their give. Hey, I want to follow up and check on you on the status of something. By the way, here's our latest article you might find. It's on a topic we talked about last time. Something like that. It's a ask and it's a give. I think you're much more likely to get answers to your emails and do things when you use that topic. So basically, First off the bat is just your blog post. And if you go back to the episode we just did on having your internal employees be your ambassadors, well, guess what? If they are your ambassadors, they're seeing your new content in your blog post, they'll know what's out there and have a recollection of them. But also, they should just know to be able to go to your blog and search on topics, and you should have things categorized and tagged properly where they can find it easily. So I'm not going to get into knowledge management. We talked about knowledge management, how to link up salespeople with searching corporate knowledge. But that should just be something as an onboarding exercise for a sales team. They should get very familiar with the content on your website and on your blog site. Those blog posts become very, that's the easiest. That's like number one thing that a salesperson should have in their arsenal is to be able to do that. Now, the next thing, and this is where I did a whole episode on this, case studies. So go back and listen to the episode I did on case studies. There's two types of case studies, in my opinion. There's the really gold level A case studies where you're listing the customer's name, logo, you got numbers and metrics in there. It's really a solid case study. That's hard to get when you're a small company. I talked in that episode, you know, we got big customers like NASA and State of Oregon and the Pentagon. They don't openly share quotes and put their, you know, give you data about that kind of stuff. They don't want their name. Even small companies these days are a little hesitant to put their name out there on the interwebs. So you have a concept of generic case studies. So listen to that podcast where I talk about that. But that's a very important thing for your sales team to have, is because it's always a credibility builder, or the last thing they ask before they sign a contract. When you have any case studies, now sometimes it's a delay technique. They ask for your case studies. They don't really care. It's going to go in the email Bitbucket delete folder, and they just come back to you later. Nah, we changed it. We're not interested. So you got to really know what the customer wants when they say this. But case studies are big for selling. So at the very least, it can get them over the objection. They can say, yeah, here's some case studies. Go for it. And go take a listen to that episode I gave you on how to build the more generic style case studies. I call them use cases. So there's use cases and there's case studies. You can have both of those. Put these on the website, put these in a PDF in a nice data sheet format, depending on your industry, what people like. I like both. I have partners who want to put it in a data sheet. They want to put their logo, their addresses, and all those things around the data sheet. And then your salespeople might want those branded data sheets for your to send out as an attachment. Or again, it could be a link in the email that you could send out from that perspective. Now, the next one, and this is one you might not think about, so this might be a new one to you, is the email signature for your sales team. Everybody, you know, sets up their own email signature, but I think you should have a standard for your company, and everybody should have a central email signature. And in that email signature, you know, you have your basic information, name, maybe position, address, website, things like that. But there can be like a little byline or a little tagline or a little section in your email where you are always positioning the next call to action or the next webinar or the next white paper or the latest press release or whatever it is you want to kind of expose them to. Now, not everybody looks at your email signature, but this is really useful when you're doing the first initial outreach, when you're going out there and they look at your whole email and they really investigate who you are in the signature to see if they want to reply, assuming that you've even gotten to the point where they care about who you are in the topic of your email. But that signature is great. Now, there's tools out there that you can do email signature. There was one recently I read about, and I'm losing it at the moment. It was Sig something. I'll have to add it to the show notes myself. But the thing about it is it was super duper expensive. I think the minimum was 50 employees, and they wanted a whole lot of money, and it was way more money than it was worth. Convertful.com, which is a tool we use for conversions on our website, they just came out with a free email signature tool. I actually put it in our newsletter as Cool Tech of the Week a few weeks ago. So if you, you know, I don't know which newsletter to refer you to, but just go to convertful.com under their resources. You'll see their free email signature generator. It's fantastic. It's great. And they have all sorts of templates and things like that. And it makes it really easy to copy and paste and put it in your email program, like, you know, G Suite or Office 365 or whatever. I was a little hesitant to use some of these more fancier email signatures, thinking that it might hurt deliverability with some pictures and images and links and things like that in your signature. I haven't found that to be the case. I have found a couple cases where some B2B, some of the businesses do not get my emails, even send me out a non-deliverable when I have an image in my signature. Those cases, I'd strip it out and resend the email and it goes fine. So something to watch. But I think that an email signature, putting standard messages about your business, is a great piece of collateral that your team should use and update. Now, the next one I want to talk about, ebooks. Now, this is traditional stuff here. I've talked about ebooks in the past. This is really, we started our content marketing strategy with a lot of ebooks. So I've got about 8 or 9 ebooks on our website that still drive lots of great leads. They're like, they're evergreen content. They sit out there forever and they're long form. Now, what I would say is, and what the person I just mentioned coming on board is going to do is I've got some blog articles, a series of blog articles I've written on new topics that can be converted into an ebook. So if you've written 4 to 5 to 6 articles on a similar topic, you can kind of merge all that together and rewrite that together and have an ebook. Get yourself a Fiverr or an Upwork consultant or use some of these graphic design tools I talked about. Relay That is a really good one for ebook covers. Crello, which was also featured in our newsletter, is cool tech of the week. Get Stencil, I use for my ebook covers. Lots of great tools out there. Put yourself together, get an ebook. There's ebook templates you can do, but I like to go and get an actual person to design it and make it look really nice. That for me is a credibility threshold. You don't want a crappy looking deliverable that you send out to customers. But ebooks are great. One, to open the door, to just that give and get. If a salesperson is reaching to get something, hey, here's a give. These ebooks are also great as the call to actions in those email signatures I talked about. You could drive some leads that way. They're also great as your lead magnets. So we're not talking about lead magnets for the website, but again, we're reusing things here. They're the lead magnets and the landing pages on your website that convert new leads, which is important for the sales team too. So ebooks is always good. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really think anybody reads the ebooks. I know I download ebooks all the time. I never read them. There's still something that people want and they always think I'll read them later. I don't think many people read the ebooks, but they're still useful. They still convert leads. So think about adding those to that. Now the ebooks, of course, have a landing page and there's things on your website. We've talked about the website being a key piece, but specifically landing pages are useful for your sales team. You want to understand what the key things your sales teams are trying to drive. So for example, in my business, they want to drive trials. They want somebody to start a trial, or they want to drive demos and they want somebody to maybe do a demo, or they want to drive webinar registrations. They want to basically get people engaged in what we're offering, our products and things like that. Well, what's the salesperson to send at that point? A landing page. They say, hey, click here to start your trial. And when they click and come back, you want that landing page to have all the amazing landing page things we talked about in our landing page podcast episode not too long ago. So just scroll back in your podcast list and find the one. We've done a couple on landing pages. Find the one that we did on landing pages. I think probably with 135 of these, I probably need to put a page on our website to kind of categorize things and give you like a little, for the new listeners, how to listen to channels and categories of topics, because I've covered landing pages quite a bit. If you go to the landing page, you find that one, you will see a tag for landing pages and you can kind of get that today on the website. But landing pages are big. So on those landing pages, what's really powerful about them is if you are having your sales team send those and you educate your sales team on how to use parameters on the link and structure a link to put some personalization tags in there, or if they're sending it through their CRM and you have some preset templates. Remember, we talked about the episode a couple of weeks ago about canned responses and setting up templates in your systems. Well, in your CRM system, you can have preset templates that will have a link to the trial. And as part of that template, you can pass in things like the email address of the user or the name of the user and things like that, or the company name and things like that. Well, guess what? When they come to your landing page, you can use technology like Unless.com or HyperRise.com is one I've been playing with recently that basically alters that landing page by putting their name, welcome so-and-so, or put their company logo on there, or really personalize that landing page for that person. Some people like it, some people don't. Some people think it's big brotherish and creepy. Most people, I will say, feel that it's an aspect of appreciation that, yeah, these guys are, you know, really out for my business. They were really personalizing it for me. So there's a lot you can do with those landing page to personalize it if you tie it in with the right templates from your CRM system and things like that. Not too difficult to do for a TechSmart boss. And if you just had that go straight over your head, you know, somebody on your team, you should have that TechSmart boss on your team that could do these things for you. So landing pages are big. So those are the biggies. Those are the biggies. And now, other thing, video. We've talked about videos. Now, videos are a combination of things. Evergreen videos, like your webinar replays, great, great things. Hey, we just had a webinar on this topic. You missed it. Here it is. Boom. Now, the long-form webinars are kind of like ebooks. People appreciate it. In many cases, if they have the question, let's say they have a question about security, and you send them a webinar on security, and let's say it's a long webinar, 30 minutes, an hour long, they're probably not going to watch it. But you answered their question. In their mind, they did a mental check and said, okay, they got security. He sent me a webinar on it. They just trust you. If you got the credibility, sending these collateral pieces just establishes the trust. They don't even validate. They just trust. But if it's somebody who wants to actually have a shorter form one, then you can have your small form videos as well. So I encourage you to do both. You have your webinars. You have on your support page a set of videos, maybe an academy or a learning center. I've talked about all these things on the podcast as well. So you can go back and look at how we talked about setting up your knowledge base, how we talked about setting up your YouTube site, how we talked about using video in your marketing, how we talked about setting up academies for support. And all those things are past podcasts that we've done in this 135. And you can find it. But video is amazing. Now, another sales tool that I've been using recently, there's Bonjoro. And I've been using a product called Dub.com. And these are sales tools that you can send. You can record a video right on your phone or right using your desk cam, do a personalized message to a person, shoot that out to an email to a person. They click on it. They see inside the email, they get like a little animated GIF of you talking in a video. Typically, you see an increase in your open rates. Again, you'll have those that block links and block images and things like that. But typically, somebody looks at an email and they see a picture of you talking and maybe have some personalization like, you know, hi, Bill. They're going to click to see what you were saying. And it takes them to a customized landing page where it's a call to action page. They play the video. There's little emoticons or emojis, if they like it or not. And then there's your call to action. Schedule a demo. Reply back. Leave me a message, whatever it might be. And all the time you're getting analytics on what's going on. So Dub.com is a great sales tool to do more personalized video. So within this video category, you got the evergreen videos, you got the shorter knowledge base videos, you got the Dub sales one-to-one personal style videos that you can leverage. And then you also have the concept of explainer videos. So there's two ways you do explainer videos, and I've got them both on my site. One is more of the animated comic style where it's got music in the background and you got little cartoon characters explaining your business, your proposition of your service or your business, and they're about, you know, 30 to 60 seconds to 90 seconds on the upper side. Those are a little bit played out. I'll be honest, when I go to a website these days and I click on their explainer video and it's that style video, then I tend to bounce. I don't want to see little cartoon characters tell me about your business. But those are very popular still. So I'm not going to say don't do them. And you can get a really professional one done. I think the cost to get a really good professional one done is about $1,500. But you can get them done as cheap as $50 if you really want to get something that looks not as professional. But that's that. Now, I just built a new explainer video for my company. And I took a different approach. Instead of the cartoon characters jumping around and talking about just conceptual stuff, I took a really condensed demo of my product. So I took the main features of my software, my product, and I condensed it down and I edited. A freelancer edited the video and sliced out all the pauses and the navigation through step by step to just highlight the core thing of the product and zoom and pan and make it look real nice, real professional looking. And then I went out and procured a voiceover on Fiverr. So my video, I wanted this one to be a little bit long, about 2.5 minutes long. The video guy working on that paid him about $100, $150 to do exactly what I wanted it from an editing perspective. The script I put together had 503 words in it. I went out to Fiverr and listened to all sorts of people who were, had that gig, found a great American female voice, which is what I wanted on my video. I just think that sells better, sounds better and easier to understand and more enticing to listen to for my audience, my customer persona. 503 words came out to be about $115 for that voiceover, professional voiceover. Then I got my video editor to sync it up and we made some final tweaks. And then it wasn't just straight video of my software. We put in some pattern interrupts, meaning that as the voiceover went over and it wanted to emphasize something, then we put up words on the screen on a nice blue background and key messages we want to put, we kind of put those words on the screen for like a second or so, almost like subliminal messaging. So you could think of it almost like a commercial. Those are great. So now that replaced my explainer video and what people, and I'm getting a lot more watch time on it because people see the product and that's what they want to see. They don't want to commit to the full demo, commit to looking at the recorded webinar, commit to contacting you at that point. They just want to see something. And this gives the benefits of an explainer video because I explain everything in that 2.5 minutes, but they're actually able to visually see the actual product that we're talking about, not some cartoon representation of it. So those are big. Other aspects of video that we've been using, I talked about Crello, animation, Waymark, really great professional video. These are more for marketing and advertisement. But again, you can put them on your YouTube channel. And those are things that you send somebody to your YouTube channel and they see stuff, they're going to start clicking around, looking at your other stuff. And these are just all things that help with your brand and help your sales team build that credibility and have some deliverables that they could send out. All right, let's talk about a little couple more. I don't want this to go too long. I could talk probably a lot about this. I might have to break it up. But now we talked about eBooks. The other side of it is white papers. Now this depends on your business. This is something that I hadn't taken the time to do because one, it's time consuming. But again, it's going to be something that the new person I brought on to do to tie my old content together is going to do. In my case, partners and everybody, security is a big part of my product. One of the differentiators we have against our larger competitors is our seamless integrated security model. So I get asked all the time, do you have a security white paper? And we don't. What I have is about 5 or 6 security articles on my blog, maybe some security knowledge articles, maybe a webinar on security. I don't have that white paper. Now, again, your normal business buyer just wants to see it, look at it, touch it, feel it, smell it, see if it looks right, and they're satisfied. But if they hand it off to their little techno engineers, their tech smart boss engineers on their company, these guys want to read it and swim it and soak it all up and ask questions and just really look for the details. So a white paper is needed for those sorts of scenarios. So think about where in your selling process, your buyer is handing off to somebody that's looking for some details. In that case, having a white paper to give that person, or as you talk to that person, you can be like, hey, Joe, you might like this white paper. Here you go. Then guess what? You got buy-in from Joe. You got buy-in from the buyer. The whole team behind your back is talking good things. I like that company. And you're getting closer to your sale at that point. So white papers are really big sales collateral. Now, there's more I could talk about. You know, you could do podcasts. One of the reasons I started the Tech Smart Boss podcast is because I was going to do a podcast for my business around business intelligence and data analytics. I was going to structure a little differently based on what I learned doing this podcast. I have not done that yet. I might still do that. Podcasts are great. It depends on your industry and what you're doing. In my industry, I don't think my buyers are out there listening to business intelligence podcasts. So it's not right for my audience yet, but that could be right for your audience. Another great deliverable or a great sales collateral that we're putting together are calculators or quizzes. You know, there's always this thing, what's your return on investment? If you can build a calculator, and I've got a couple of calculator tools, a Calconic on our YouTube channel, we did a video on Calconic, really powerful software, really powerful tool. I've made a really advanced pricing calculator for partners and for customers using Calconic, embedded it on our website. It's a big hit. So I like that tool. And then there's also for quizzes, you know, on Facebook, you see all those quizzes all the time. What type of animal are you? If you were a piece of bread, which kind of bread would you be? People soak those things up. They take those silly things all the time. But now apply that to business. A quiz like, what's the right type of BI solution for you? Self-service, traditional, agile, this type of stuff. And you can lead people through that. You know, how much can you save? You can even turn a quiz into a calculator. So for that, I have tools like Brand Quiz. They just renamed themselves to Involve Me. Yeah, Involve.me, because they're more than just quizzes now. But that's a great tool where you can embed these quizzes on your website, or you can have them as direct branded links that you can send to people and say, hey, if you want to play around with our pricing and the configuration of it, here you go. If you want to, you know, if you fill out this quiz here, it'll kind of give you an indication of which is the best license type for you. Do you need a public view report or do you need that? So instead of your sales team having to sit there and do discovery and ask the questions, and maybe they just want to be more self-sufficient, you could put a lot of stuff in the quizzes. These are also great lead magnets that anonymous viewers of your website can come through, and you can generate new leads through that. Again, all these things are reusable. That's what you want in your content strategy, is to reuse these, but these are great for your sales teams to have on them from that perspective. And then the last thing I'm going to mention here, even though I could talk about a lot more stuff, is going to be like testimonials. A little bit different than case studies. If you got the problem with case studies, you're probably going to have the same problem with testimonials, in that your customers don't necessarily give you that. But in testimonials, it could be using business directories. Like if you're in Yelp is your big thing, or Travelocity is your big thing, you might have invite your customers, leave ratings and reviews there. Google reviews, Facebook reviews. In my space of software, there's like GitApp, there's Capterra, there's lots of business software directories and things like that where you do reviews. They're all pay to play. I personally don't mess with them. And I've told you in this podcast before, you don't want to put too much emphasis on having your customers put user-generated data in other people's platforms, because they're going to change those platforms, just like Facebook, and they're going to change it from organic reach to paid reach, and they always have a motive to charge your business. You want them on your website. So if you're going to do these testimonials, if you're going to grab these things up, have like a wall of love. I've done a video on YouTube. If you want to see these YouTube videos, by the way, go to our website, techsmartboss.com, scroll down, click the YouTube icon, or just go on YouTube and search for TechSmart Boss. You'll find it. But I did a video on how to set up a wall of love to not only get testimonials and quotes from your customers, but to automatically have them posted on a page on your website. And guess what? That page can be sent. It could be included in the email signature line I talked about. Very powerful from that perspective. So anything like that from a customer testimonial perspective, because that's always another thing too. Who's your customers? What's your references? Things like that. So having those sorts of pages on your website, the About Us page, the company bio page, the testimonial page, you might not even want to put them where everybody can find them on your website, but you might want to have it there so you can send a specific link. And in fact, that's what I would recommend you do when it comes to some of that stuff, is have them available or have them in a PDF or a data sheet. Same thing goes for, I talked about case studies, but I'll give you one more along that line on data sheets, is comparisons. And I've talked about the best way to drive search traffic to your website is to compare yourself against the other products in your industry, to do it honestly, transparently, as non-biased as possible. Tell where they're better than you and tell where you're better than them, and lay out the differences on why somebody wants to do business with them, and be honest about it. Don't be slimy, and don't try to set the columns up or the article up where you only talk about the things you're good in. And if you do that, you're going to get a lot of credibility. You're going to get a lot of leads. That's my whole strategy right there. Well, that's another thing that this person I mentioned will do, is take those and package them up, build some data sheets, some collateral that partners can use. Some of them we probably will put as internal use only, not to be handed out, where we'll talk about some of the, not the dirty stuff, but just some of the real honest and nitty gritty things that we know about competitors that you don't necessarily need to share in public. But others will be things that they can hand out at trade shows, in customer meetings, at presentations, they can email, and all those sorts of things. So when you have that toolkit, of course, you want to put it somewhere. So guess where I did a video on a product called Clinked, clinked.com. I think it's pronounced Clinked, but it's easier to go to if you understand it's the letter C with the word linked.com. So clinked.com is a great brandable portal. I use it for my internal team. So we have a branded company portal where I put all this stuff up. I use it for my partners. They have a branded partner portal, and it has document storage and chat, and you can embed all sorts of hyperlinks and things like that. It's a really powerful portal solution. But you could also just set up, I used to use Dropbox. I had Dropbox Business, and you could set that up and have your different departments and have their collateral structured in folders. There's pCloud Business. We did a YouTube video comparing pCloud Business with Dropbox Business, and you can do the same thing. I like clinked.com. It's like SharePoint from back in the day, back in the 2000s when Microsoft SharePoint was hot. If SharePoint and Dropbox had a baby, it would be clinked.com. So a little bit old school with a little bit new school, and I like it. It works out well. All right, I've gone long enough on this, but I think you get the idea. Reuse your content, turn it into sales collateral, make it available to your sales team through a common point spot like clinked or Dropbox or Google Drive or whatever you use, and then educate and teach your sales team how to use them, what part of the sales stage, use the get and give philosophy. Every time you go to get something, give a little something, even if it's just in your email signature. And I think you're going to see that the sales team can start to be a little bit more successful than I've had in the past. At least that's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on a successful sales team and a successful partner team, partner sales team. But I think the key is, you know, I've gotten the business and the product to where it needs to be to really compete effectively. And now we just need to press the gas on the sales. Every other time I talk about the sales failures I've had, but really I just wasn't ready for a sales team at that point. So you got to be ready. You got to have a good product or service that's ready to sell. Got to build your sales process around it that's going to work. And that's the next step. I'll probably be doing a podcast on sales process. All right, I'm going to wrap this one up. Hey, I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a rating on iTunes, rating and review. Please share it with your network. That's all the marketing we do here is from you, the listener, telling your sharing it on social media, telling your friends and colleagues that go search this thing, TechSmart Boss. It's pretty cool. It'll help your business. And reach out to me, david@techsmartboss.com, and let me know what you think. And I'm going to wrap this one up. Subscribe next Tuesday, 10 a.m. A new episode will come out. And as I always say, I want you to be blessed and continue being a TechSmart Boss. I'll talk to you next time.
Small business, big technology. Be a boss, be a boss, be a boss, be a boss, be a TechSmart Boss.